superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Rich Eisen.
He is one of the all-time.
Rich Eisen.
Absolute friggin' greats.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I don't see no competition.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
There it is. Another touchdown. 2 yard run by Nyheim Hines.
Who is this kid? Who is he?
Earlier on the show, author and host Emmanuel Acho. Coming up, CBS NFL Today insider Jason LaCanfora. From the new film Chick Fight, actress Malin Ackerman. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. We're keeping an eye on the Masters leaderboard. It's day two of the Masters. Tiger Woods and Paul Casey and Webb Simpson have yet to tee off, and Xander Schauffele have yet to tee off. They will do so over the next 2 hours of this show that is live on NBC Sports on Peacock. Dan Patrick gives us the audience after Florio gives it to Dan, and then we give it to Brother from Another, and they give it to Florio at PFTPM. By the way, Chris Brockman, I have just been booked to appear on PFTPM today.
The first PFTPM appearance.
Right here on NBC Sports on Peacock.
PMT yesterday, PFTPM
PM today. Yes.
Well done.
But right now, hour two of the RES. On NBC Sports on Peacock. Jason LaCanfora will join us on this show in about 19 minutes' time to talk about what's going on in the world of the Baltimore Ravens, as well as the NFL writ large. He's the NFL insider for the NFL Today on CBS. So our poll questions, hit them, Chris Brockman. Let's hit them at the top of hour number two right here on the show.
Okay, we're going to hit some football first. Big matchup down in South Florida. Tua versus Justin Herbert. Which quarterback would you build your franchise around? I'm throwing number one overall pick Joe Burrow in there as well. Tua, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow. Early results, all legal votes here. 48% say Joe Burrow. 37% Justin Burrow. 15% for Tua.
Pops. So Joey Burrow's winning that poll,
Joey
huh?
Burrow winning the poll. Almost half say Joe Burrow okay. Right now. Pop culture question. It's the 33rd anniversary of the release of The Running Man.
Love it.
One of our favorite Schwarzenegger films. Which NFL player would make the best stalker in that movie? DK Metcalf, Gronk, J.J. Watt, Aaron Donald. TJ's pick, DK Metcalf, 42%. 29% Aaron Donald, 17% Gronk. Only 12% of JJ Watt.
The question is what will it have to be in the NFL over the next 8 weeks? What play will it have to be to knock DK Metcalf running down Buda Baker as the play of the 2020 season?
No idea.
There isn't one, right? I mean, like, what would be? Would it have to be like a Miami Miracle type play? You know?
Yeah, I don't even think with no time left. Yeah,
you know, some sort of triple Lindy type crazy ass band on the field type play.
Maybe like four different laterals again. I even think if Derrick Henry rattled off another 99-yard touchdown,
he had a shot last night.
I know, but even still, that wouldn't knock DK's play off. I don't think.
I don't think so either. Unless it was like a beast mode type run where he.
Right, bounced off a few people, through another like a bunch of stiff arms, and then.
But DK Metcalf, that's play of the year
to win the game.
Maybe. I mean, like I normally don't talk ESPYs around here, but that's it. I mean, that's it for sports.
I think so.
That's it for sports.
It's incredible.
You know.
I mean, are we missing like a LeBron dunk or something from?
Yeah,
the finals,
Don Bowie just said the stiff arm of Josh Norman by.
But that play didn't count. Okay, that play got nullified via penalty. So that play technically doesn't exist.
Right.
Except that we all have the video and the memes.
Right.
It would have to take some crazy Hail Mary, tip drill situation to knock that play off. It's just so incredible.
Right.
And they didn't score on that play. Like, that changed the whole tenor of that game.
Oh, I mean, it was 4 points that Arizona could have used, but they did. Arizona did eventually win. Is that what you're referring to, or you're talking about
the
tenor of the game?
Yeah. That's what I mean.
Okay, so 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the show. I send my best to Herman Edwards, one of the best humans that I've gotten to meet in my time in this job. He's COVID positive, and he's in his 60s. We're sending our best. You know, Tom Izzo's got it, too. Mooch says he's doing all right. And so, look, Alabama, LSU's canceled this week. So is Ohio State. So is Texas A&M. Three of the top five ranked teams are postponed / canceled this week.
Six games involving top 25 teams.
I mean, it's getting, as you know, in this country, geometrically out of hand. It just keeps on going up, the rate of positivity in this country. It is frightening. It is also something that we can, as a populace, do something about: masking up, washing hands, staying socially distant, testing and tracing. Although I did see that the state of Wisconsin is so raging out of control right now that there is no ability to contact trace in that state. But at any rate, the reason why I bring it up in the sports realm of things, we touched upon it with Mike Tirico on Monday. We touched upon it with Desmond Howard yesterday. The Big 12 commissioner, Bob Bowlsby, said on Sirius XM radio last night that he and the rest of the powers that be on the, let me get this correct, that he is on the CFP Operations Committee, the Operations Committee for the College Football Playoffs. That, quote, we spent some time talking about that being delaying the College Football Playoff and New Year's Day's six bowls because of the pandemic. We have not come to any closure on it, but there is some latitude to postpone it if that need should arise. And again, it might be wise to do it if we're hearing all the positive news about vaccines coming around the corner, potentially being available for emergency use before the end of the first of the year. Now then, I proffer to say that the limited number of vials of this important liquid should go into the arms of first responders, members of the medical community, also those at most at risk, the elderly, so on and so forth. But assuming that that does get this virus under control to the point where coaches like Herman Edwards and so many programs like the ones that we're seeing don't catch this virus at such an alarming rate that everything gets canceled, that maybe it'll be better if you postpone it. And if you're talking about postponing it, that means you are open to change, right? You're going with the flow. You're rolling with the figurative punches. I have been pounding the table for eight teams to play it out for college football playoffs for a very long time. It removes a lot of the arguments. It removes a lot of the conjecture. It also makes for a more enjoyable tournament. It does. They don't get paid. I think players should get some form of compensation for playing because of how much money that they make. I know that's somewhat controversial to say. I fully believe it. A stipend should be given to college football players. They're not professionals, I understand. I think it would be a shame this year with all of these teams that are having trouble completing their schedules that these kids don't get a chance to compete just because they played three fewer games than a team that's undefeated and they've lost one, or teams like Cincinnati and BYU don't get in because they have to figure that the Blue Bloods would be more entertaining for your viewership whenever they have it on New Year's Day or obviously college football playoffs would be late December and then mid-January, that you'd be more inclined to watch Clemson and Notre Dame have at it for maybe a third time, or Alabama and Clemson have at it for the umpteenth time, or Ohio State taking on Alabama, or Alabama, Ohio State and Clemson playing for the umpteenth time, that you'd rather have this run back, have that sort of comfort food placed in front of you, and BYU and Cincinnati's left out. We should, like baseball, expand it. We should, like the NFL is already considered. It's already done. If there's a bunch of games canceled, we're sitting here, who could be the seventh seed? The NFL is already basically saying, we're going to take that drama out because games could be missed, and we'll make it eight teams make it from each conference. And you could say, well, that's crazy. Well, that's not the same thing as usual. Guess what? Neither is life right now. Neither is life. I mean, you already sense the hand-wringing. Like, what's going to go on if this team plays five games and that team plays eight and nine and ten? And you know, we're doing this so what? The 18 and 22-year-olds can have a shot. At least that's what we were hearing from all of these Big Ten schools that wanted to play. It wasn't about money. It was about giving the kids what they want. Like, their time to play football. That's what they want to do. So if that's what it's about, then let's get everybody in a room and say, this year, right now, we're going to let six teams in. We're going to let eight teams in. What would be the problem with that? That maybe what? You're having the kids at risk for getting the virus for a couple more football games? That's true. Doesn't seem to be the case or concern right now, right? I mean, we're in the middle of, you see that bar go zooming all the way up. It is insane what this third wave, if you want to call it that, looks like. But we're still trying to play football. So maybe you push this thing back into February and let eight teams have at it. Let's go. And you certainly can't use the annual argument of, well, it ruins the do or die aspect of the regular season. What regular season? Right? LSU Alabama is postponed. Ohio State, which is easily the Big Ten's best team, with all due respect to Wisconsin, they just got canceled. Let's do it. My two cents on that subject. You know, again, Don Bowie just got in my ear. You're right, Don. The SEC has more games canceled this week than more games getting set to be played. Pardon me, postponed. Because I guess they're going to still have options to play in December in the same way, I guess, that the Big Ten doesn't, because, or later on in November, because they started earlier.
Right.
Look at that. Four games postponed, three on the docket. And Florida's one of those teams already. I mean, that's had some COVID cancellations and postponements. You know what I'm saying? Alabama makes it. Clemson makes it. Notre Dame makes it. Ohio State makes it. Pretty much, you could sit here right now and say, barring something terribly crazy, unforeseen, even if Clemson beats Notre Dame again, well, Notre Dame shouldn't get a spot. I don't know. What if that thing goes to overtime? I mean, that's the sort of argument. Why wouldn't Florida want to get a seat here? What about A&M? What about BYU? What about Cincinnati? Let's open it up. Let's open it up and maybe bubble it up. Send the teams all in one spot, right? Bubble it up with these programs and let them do online learning. Could be one big, huge-ass campus. Yeah, you could call it that. You could call it the huge-ass campus.
Their colleges are doing that anyway. And the NBA, NHL, and MLB proved bubbles work.
Let's go to the phone lines right now. Preston in Fresno, California, here on the program. What's up, Preston?
Hey, Rich. First off, this is my first time calling. Just want to let you know, big-time fan.
Thanks, bro.
For all that you guys do.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Calling to answer your poll question about which quarterback would you build your franchise around? I'm going with Tua all day. Reason why, if you look at the franchises and where they're at now, I think the Dolphins have the best long-term plan. And I think we're going to have a good eye-opener this weekend when the Dolphins take on the Chargers. Got a hot take here.
Okay.
I think Justin Herbert's going to throw at least one interception, and he will be sacked 2 to 3 times. I think Brian Flores' defense is going to bring him down to earth a little bit.
Okay.
So I'm going with Tua for the next 10 years.
Preston, appreciate it. Where is Preston's in last place in this poll right now? Is that where he is?
Yeah, not a lot of love for Tua right now. Only 16%. Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow getting the majority here, about 84%.
Let's do this. And thanks for the call. Let's do this. Let's finish this poll, obviously, today.
Okay.
Ask it again in a month.
And you think
Tua will win?
You think Tua will win?
Win.
Ooh, okay.
I think Tua will win. I think Tua will not lose the next 3 weeks. Talk about winning. I think he'll beat Herbert. I think he'll beat Drew Locke. And I think he'll beat Sam Darnold / Joe Flacco. I think he'll have a 5-0 record as a starter going into Kansas City. And then the rest of the world will just be on the edge of their seat to see, can Tua beat Kansas City? And this is just truly an amazing thing about the NFL. This is why when we talked about Tua with Greg Cosell yesterday. Again, Greg Cosell, the senior NFL films producer, who is the maven, the tape maven there. He's an all-22 maven, one of the best talent evaluators in our business. And he talked about how Chan Gailey, the offensive coordinator in Miami, has dialed in and dialed up what suits Tua. And that it's a match. If I had told you, Chris, literally, like when Tua looked off the Georgia safety and Miami reportedly began to tank for him on the spot, if I had told you this and we were all looking at Alabama throughout Tua's year there after winning it all, right, that the Dolphins are going to tank for him and I told you that the Dolphins would eventually get him and I told you the Dolphins would put Tua in the hands of Chan Gailey, what would any NFL fan essentially say?
Bad news for Tua.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Chan Gailey, the guy who was the Dallas Cowboys coach.
Was he one and done?
That he just absolutely pooped the bed. He was not one and done. He was 2 years and done.
Okay.
98 to 99. He was actually the Dolphins offensive coordinator to start the century 2 years. Then he went to Georgia Tech as the head coach. He was the OC in Kansas City, Buffalo Bills head coach for 3 years. That didn't work out. He was out of football in 2013 and 2014. The Jets brought him in to be their offensive coordinator for 2 years. 2015 and 2016. Then he was out of football until this year. And Brian Flores is like, you're the offensive coordinator of the Miami Dolphins. And you can bet dollars to donuts. The reason why they hired him is because they knew what his plan for Tua was going to be. Lock that in. The NFL, man, you just never know. I mean, you never know. And what a spot for Chan Gailey, who, you know, the once upon a time head coach at the Birmingham Fire in Samford and then the wide receivers coach for the Steelers in those two seasons that they ascended to Neil O'Donnell getting the run that he did, 94 to 95, was the OC for the Steelers after that. Dallas gave him a head coaching job. I mean, bouncing around, if you will. Now he's hooked at the hip with Tua. And what an opportunity at age, let me get this right, 68. Football lifer getting the opportunity of a lifetime right now. And I'm telling you, we will revisit this poll in a month. And it might be flipped on its head. I'm telling you, when Tua gets done with the Chargers and the Broncos and the Jets, and he's 5-0 and he's feeling it, and everybody's paying much more attention now than before, I'm telling you, Can they screw? Can they lose a game in between there? Of course they can. I'm not seeing it. But right now it's Burrow or Herbert and Tua in our poll question right now, right?
Yeah, 49, 36, 15.
We'll take a break and we'll go back to our phone lines as well, but we'll also hear Jason Lockenfora's take on what's going on with the Ravens, who we'll see on Sunday Night Football on NBC. Higher Register, we'll hit that afterwards as well. That's how the rest of our Hour 2 is running. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Ready to get away from it all? Free yourself with Pluto TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No contracts, no subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android or iPhone and start watching now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
Back here on NBC Sports on Peacock, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We'll take your calls. We're also going to go higher register at the end of this hour. Again, we've decided that anytime we say something that we believe, but we need to get a little bit of extra oomph to believe it, we got to go higher register. Maybe this kid, Augenstein, is, have an opportunity to win the Masters. He's an amateur who's just two shots back. Right? See that?
That was nice.
Thank you. Just trying to put it in perspective for people.
Of course, of course.
Does my beard look like it needs to be shaved a little bit?
Oh.
I'm just looking at it right here.
Looks good.
Hey, that's all I needed to say. Moving on. Thanks, Chase.
It doesn't look that bad.
That's all I'm looking for. What'd you think? No. No, it doesn't need it. It's nice and tight. Appreciate that.
Looks good.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show on our radio network, as well as NBC Sports on Peacock. Okay. Chris Brockman, our poll questions are both out there. People are calling in about the football one in particular, which quarterback would you take and build your team around? Tua, Burrow, Herbert. Boy, are those three kids that were chosen in the top six this year just been dynamite so far. Just been dynamite. Right now, it's Burrow, Herbert, Tua right now on our list, right?
Yeah, 49, 35, 16 right now.
And I'll tell you, in a month, I'm telling you, it's going to get flipped. It's going to get flipped. But let's talk a little bit more about the reigning MVP, who was dynamite in his rookie season, as well as obviously his second campaign. And Lamar Jackson. Chris, is Jason Lockenfora on the phone line?
Yes, he is.
As promised, the NFL insider from CBS Sports. He also has his own daily radio show in Baltimore, Inside Access with Jason Lockenfora. He is the aforementioned Jason Lockenfora. How are you, brother?
I'm hanging in there, my friend. How are you?
Well, I'm getting through the week.
Yes, sir.
We're not only doing this show, getting set for NFL game day morning on Sunday mornings on NFL Network, but also providing some content for you there in Charm City.
Yeah, definitely a hat tip. Check in the mail. Whenever we're allowed to assimilate as normal human beings again, I will be the purveyor of some fine red wine. The Lamar interview has definitely made ripple effects over here on the East Coast, specifically in Baltimore. He's such an honest kid.
He is. Like exactly. Yeah, please go. You have the floor here, Jason. Go for it.
Yeah, he's only played 32 games yet, or he's maybe right around it, but basically the equivalent of two seasons. And so much is thrown at this kid, and it's always, well, what more should Lamar be doing? And what more could Lamar do? And what more can they get out of Lamar? And I get it. He's not going to win the MVP, but I got news for you. Greg Roman ain't winning any Coordinator of the Year awards either. And Mark Andrews is the only guy you got to worry about then, and he's the only guy you got to worry about now. And Hollywood Brown, if he's truly a number one receiver or a number two, well, we can look at the numbers and we can sit down and watch the film. When one-third of your routes are go routes, that is a highway to hell, a road to nowhere, that haven't been completed all year, when you're not running the full route tree, when you're not a big yak guy, and he's changing his body. And I'm not, you know, I hope he becomes what they drafted him to be. You know, Miles Boykin, I don't know how many teams Miles Boykin's starting on. I just don't. Devin Duvernay, he's got a lot of speed. He played 27 snaps last week. Getting more speed involved in the run game with Duvernay and Brown, you don't see it. Bubble screens, you don't see it. He's dropped back, Rich, 41 times first down play action all year. Guess how many times Dak Prescott's done it? 40, and he ain't played for a minute, last I could remember. You got guys in the 70s, Kyler Murray, Allen's doing it 74 times. There's things this kid could do. He's a top 10 quarterback in play action, but he's 23rd in attempts. Like, come on. So I don't see how the roster's any. And they lost a Hall of Fame guard, and they lost an all-pro left tackle. And some of what worked last year, it ain't going to work. And now it's DJ Fluker on the right side. So that's a little different than Orlando Brown. So, yeah, I just think the kid was being honest. And the stadiums are empty, and you do hear more than ever. And this isn't like an earth-shattering thing. Going back to my beat days, you would hear once or twice a season you'd go into the opposing locker room, and they'd be like, yeah, that call on 3rd and 5, we had it. And we were talking about it on the field, and we all knew what they were going to do. So I just think that we got to have a little context here. And has he taken major strides forward? No, he's still the only reason, I shouldn't say the only, but the single most prevalent, dominant reason that they are 6-2 is this kid. He opens up all the stuff in the run game that very few people can. He's running 4 times fewer per game, which is good, but they're still an elite rushing unit in large part because of him. You know, Ingram was his hype man last year. Ingram was the vocal leader. Ingram was the energy guy. Ingram's got half as many touches as he did a year ago, and he's been banged up. They have a leadership, vocal leadership void on that side of the ball. You don't have Yonda anymore. And everybody's sitting there like, well, what more should Lamar do? Just let Lamar play. Lamar's the least of any problems around here. How about people do more for Lamar?
Jason Lockenfora here on the Rich Eisen Show, and this is why I wanted to dial you up is for context here, Jason, because, you know, it was just a simple question that I asked Lamar that led to him saying that defenses are calling their plays out before he snaps the ball. And the simple question is why are things not looking as easy for you this year? It doesn't look like things are coming as easy for you this year. And that's what his response was. And the context is what I was looking for here, especially since we had Greg Cosell, who's Mr. All 22, Mr. Tapehead from NFL Films on here, and ask if he saw anything on film that could back up what Lamar was saying. And he said the offense was remedial. That's the word that he used, remedial. And so I think you've given a little bit more voice to that. Now that Ingram's coming back and it's the Patriots in town, what do you think is the crystal ball here for this team that was one seed last year?
I still think riding J.K. Dobbins is the way to go. What they're most effective with now, because of some of the personnel schemes, because you don't have Yonda road grading inside anymore, because the center is coming off a catastrophic, career-threatening multiple knee surgeries, and now it's Fluker at right tackle and not Orlando, I think they have to stick with the pitch plays, the outside zones. Running off tackle is what they do really well. It's the sprint plays where you take it outside and maybe you cut it down the sideline or maybe you one cut it back. That's Dobbins, man. Dobbins offset in the pistol with Lamar. That's been the most effective stuff they've done all year, far and away. They use a lot of 3-4 wide receiver personnel to spread you out a little bit, to get some of your some personnel on the field that they might like a little bit better, to open up some of those holes. And when they run that stuff, they're doing it better than anybody in the league. You can make the case they don't do it enough. And they did it to Pittsburgh for 265 yards, Rich, and it would have been 3-something if they didn't turn it over 4 times. The Colts' athletes are different than the Steelers' athletes. The Colts' speed at linebacker is unmatched, and they bottled some of that stuff up last week, but that ain't the Patriots. they don't have guys who can really compete out on the edge in the run game or the pass game. And I the stuff they can run with Dobbins is just different. And Ingram wasn't hitting that same gear early in the year. So if it's me, and I know you don't, and the other thing is they're not, I mean, Ingram, I think, has five targets all season. Dobbins is the guy who can win for them. In the pass game, they don't run enough design wheel routes for him. They don't run enough things where he's the primary. Again, high percentage passes in general. There's more they could do with that to help Lamar, and I think Dobbins could be his best friend.
So what about Dez? You know, Lamar said that he's very vocal already. The question is how much can his play do the talking from here on out in terms of giving him help that you said? How about help for Lamar? What about Dez?
I mean, it was surprising that he was up for that game last week. Now, he only played two snaps, and I think they were both run plays. And that was because Duvernay had missed a little time in practice. And Chris Moore, wide receiver, does a lot for them in special teams, wasn't available, and he ended up going on IR. So the numbers worked. But when you talk to people in that building, the thought was, we could maybe get this guy where we want him for the rematch with the Steelers on Thanksgiving. That maybe that's when he's ready for, you know, more of a role if things keep progressing. But the vocal leadership's imperative. I mean, again, before Dez got there, the oldest receiver on the team was Willie Snead, who just turned 28. And, I mean, let's face it, Willie Snead hasn't really been through the wars the way he can talk to a group like Dez can. They don't have any – they needed another dog. They needed somebody who could tell a Boykin, hey, man, no. That's not on the quarterback. That's on you. And they've got that guy there now. How much he provides on the field, I don't know. And when he does get to the field, Rich, I think he's more of a glorified tight end at this point. You know, Hayden Hurst played 41% of their snaps last year. They were killing people out of 12 and 13 personnel. Boykin is not Hurst. And even when Hurst wasn't involved in the play, you had to worry that if he threw a double move on me and gets behind me, it could be lights out. Like, he's that kind of athlete. And Dez isn't that guy, but he's a bigger target, a bigger-bodied guy, box out, tight quarters, power forward stuff, leverage, strength, kind of like what they had with Bolden at the end of his career. If they can get a little bit of that and basically use him in the seam almost like a tight end, maybe that opens up some of that stuff that Lamar was so effective with last year.
Jason LaCouture, a few minutes left with the CBS Sports NFL Insider, talking a lot about the Ravens because he's sitting right there in Baltimore talking about him every day on his local radio show on 105.7 The Fan. So, you got Big Ben. We're assuming he will come off the COVID-19 list in time for Sunday. Is that what you're hearing for sure?
Yeah. I mean, as long as everything stays on, right, on point there and he continues to test negative, which has been the case to this point, and the Steelers as a whole feel like, you know, they got a hold of that situation right away. They identified the close contacts. Everybody's been doing the right thing, quarantining who was a close contact. So, yeah, I mean, it's not ideal, especially for a quarterback, but I hate to say it, but it's the new normal, and we're seeing teams go through this every week, and it's just how you have to adapt to try to get through this season.
And then we're assuming the knees are not an issue either, if he is, in fact, COVID negative for a few days in a row. What are you hearing about that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he would have practiced a whole lot this week anyway. He probably would have been, you know, limited.
Okay.
He'll be fine. I mean,
he's Big Ben. I know that's the sort of way that he hobbles around and he starts winning games.
Yeah, like you'll see the stanky leg, the limp might come out from time to time.
I know.
But I think he's going to be all right.
All right. So you got the 8-0 Steelers. You got Russ Wilson coming off of not cooking very well against Buffalo, which is in Arizona. You got Allen versus Kyler Murray there. You got Aaron Rodgers and the Packers taking on Jacksonville while Kansas City sits on a bye week at 8-1. That's my long-winded way of asking you, who's your MVP at the halfway point? I named pretty much every team with every quarterback that's in that mix right here.
What do you have for me? I think it's setting up pretty good for Mr. Mahomes right now. You know, I think Russ had a chance to distance himself. And, you know, he had a 3-turnover game against Arizona, which is out of character, and then a 4-turnover game. And even the Miami game, that pick in the end zone, he hasn't been as airtight in the red zone. And, again, I'm holding him to an impeccable standard, but that's one he set. So could he get back in it? Yeah, and look, if they win that division, it's only going to be because of him. It's not going to be because of the defense. So, but right now I think I would lean Mahomes. When those guys are sort of at just cruise control, they're still putting up 30 points. And, you got him taking, you know, snaps and, you know, in motion coming across the face of the defense now. You've seen them kind of lean on the run, and now the run's not been as dominant the last couple weeks, but what's he got, 9 touchdowns and no interceptions? We're going to see a lot of them down the stretch, I'm sure, and it's hard. I mean, he's the best player on the planet, and he's healthy, and he's a part of a scheme that's sort of ever-evolving and super creative. So I think I would lean in that direction. You know, he's got the Lombardi trophy. I would lean Mahomes.
And then the topic du jour today, based on the fact that Phillip Rivers won a game on the road on Thursday Night Football that a few people thought he would, and I picked the Titans. I should have known better, not just because I picked the Colts to win the division before the season, but I've seen Phillip Rivers with the Chargers go into places like Denver and win Thursday Night Football games nobody expected. He did it again. The Colts are in first place. He passed Dan Marino 5th all-time on the passing list. So the question is, I place before you, is Phil a Hall of Famer when it's all said and done? Philly Riv.
I think he'll probably get in, Rich. I do. I think he'll get in. It's just so hard. Like, somebody told me the other day that Joe Flacco is now past, like, Joe Montana in passing yards, you know? It's just a different – the game is so different now. The opportunities, the portals, the windows to pass the ball are just there all the time now in ways they weren't, you know, even 8 years ago. So you've got the issue of historical context and whatnot. But, yeah, I think everybody from that draft class gets in. And I mean, the big three.
Yes, Eli, Ben, and him. Yes.
I would rank them. I think I would rank them Ben, Phillip, Eli. You know, because I think Eli, a lot of it comes down to two or three specific, individually brilliant performances on really big stages. You know, versus the totality, but with it being Gotham and all, I think all three of them end up getting in.
All right, Locke. Thank you very much, Jason. Appreciate
it. Always my pleasure,
at
brother.
Jason Locke and Four. You'll see him on the NFL Today on Sunday. And how can people find your radio show nationally, Jason? How can they do that?
You can check us out, stream us live anywhere on the radio.com app, and then also at 105.7 The Fan. Well, you know, you can stream it from our website in Baltimore as well.
Every day at 2.
2 to 6 Eastern every day.
Four,
yes, sir,
hours,
if you have,
Jason,
not had your fill of nonstop Lamar Jackson dissertations and dissections, we got you covered this afternoon when you're done listening.
Hey, man, listen, and again, like you said yesterday, like, what's the poll? You had a poll question, like, is this what Lamar said on this show, a big deal, not a big deal, or somewhere in between? I know I'm supposed to say it's a big deal because it was on this show and it's everywhere now. But I don't think it's that big of a deal.
No.
Big deal that he said this, and
what?
But the issue that is a big deal is exactly what you pointed out and what Greg Cosell alluded to, is the scheme does appear to be less successful this year, and maybe the reason why is they're not doing a lot of things that they should be doing, and they're a smart enough coaching staff to figure that out, I think, you know?
Absolutely. And look, the second half of the Colts game, they were much more up-tempo. They were relying heavily on play action. It was spot routes. It was little things where he could run to his right. He'd know he'd have multiple guys at high, medium, low, that he could hit on crossers or throwing across his body, which he likes to do sometimes. Yeah, they got some stuff going. Now they see if they can keep it cooking.
Thanks for the call, Jason. You take care. Have a good show today.
Thank you, brother. Have a great show. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, brother. That's Jason Locke and Fora here on The Rich Eisen Show. Big Sunday night game, man. Just so big. Your Patriots could really throw
a big
curve in here.
Big wrench into things if the Pats pull this off.
Let's talk about your Patriots' ability to start sniffing it, though. Right?
A win, they're sniffing it.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, if they get to 4-5.
They're
sniffing things here. Let's take a
look. Get to 4-5. There's still too many 5-3 teams in front of them right now, Chris. It's too many.
Yeah, they would need, Miami loss to the Chargers this week would help.
Yes, it would, because the Chargers wouldn't leapfrog the Patriots, but would bring Miami closer to them. That's kind of a must-have for your Patriots hoping to do anything this year. And then there's, of course, the question about New England and Cam and host Brady and what's viable this year or not that'll be on display. The Ravens clearly at 6-2.
Houston knocking off Cleveland would help this week as well. A lot needs to happen for the Pats to be sniffing it. Not impossible.
No, I know. You just went higher register. Is that your higher register?
No. My higher register
is kind of, we have set the table for it. TJ Jefferson, are you going to go Dallas once? Don't say anything. We'll come back. We'll take a break. We'll take more of your phone calls. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Keep an eye on that leaderboard. Bernard Langer is stalking right now. Bernard Langer, everybody. Words I haven't said in a while.
Welcome to the MIP.
Yeah.
The Michael Irvin Podcast.
You knew this was coming.
Guess who?
Let me start this thing off.
Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Ready to get away from it all? Free yourself with Pluto TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No contracts, no subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android or iPhone and start watching now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
844-204-RICH, number to dial, youtube.com/RichEisen Show. RichEisenStore.com is available for everybody to go visit and check out our merchandise store. By the way, I just realized I'm double mugged here, and this is not...
Whoa.
I didn't know I was double mugged.
Did you mean to do that?
No, I didn't mean to do that. I think I had this one out for some water. I'm done with that. Then I went to coffee. I got the coffee in this one here.
Nice.
So I'm double mugged right here. And as you can see, it's right and left-handed. Okay. And you check out the store at richeisenstore.com. T-shirts, short sleeves, long sleeves, white, heather gray. You got hats. There's a mask as well, and I've personally QC'd it. And then the mug. So richeisenstore.com right now and get your merch.
Rock and roll, man.
Today.
And those still aren't the most amount of mugs that you've had on your desk, I don't think.
And I need to check on all that stuff, correct.
I think you had like four.
I got my Latte Larry mug. I got richeisenstore.com is the way to go for it. Okay, so we're back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Dustin Johnson is on top of the leaderboard where five players are seven under.
Crazy.
Right? Paul Casey, by the way, is in terrific shape. If he's teeing off in a half an hour from now, if he tees off just one shot back and everybody's, he could go run and hide.
Okay.
Before the weekend.
Great stat I saw yesterday from the Bear, Chris Felica.
Yes.
On College game day. Paul Casey has had the first round lead in a major twice. The 2004 U.S. Open. The 2004 Open Championship and the 2010 U.S. Open. In the next second round, he shot 73 and 77. He does not do well with a first round lead.
Well, let's see. Maybe this one's different. Maybe this one's different. Paul Hornung passed away, by the way. Did you see that? That happened in the last half hour.
Yeah.
Age of 84, one of the all-time greats from Notre Dame and obviously the Green Bay Packers.
Been dealing with dementia for several years now, Paul Hornung.
Yeah, he was one of the first guys that I saw at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. when I used to go there for the first couple of years, that when I saw him, I'm like, okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, when the golden boy.
I know. I mean, when I first saw him at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, I'm like, okay, this is a neat spot to be. He just passed away again at the age of 84. May he rest in peace. Let's go to the phone lines here. Take a couple phone calls before we go higher register. Zach in Fort Wayne, Indiana. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Zach?
Oh, yeah. Hey, Rich. Big fan.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate that. Thanks for calling in.
Calling about the poll about rookie QBs.
Yes, sir.
We're taking.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to have to take Joe Burrow. Reason is, you know, I think he gets thrown into this Bengals offense, which I think he's got good receivers, good running backs. But he doesn't have that O-line. So I think a lot of what we've seen out of Joe Burrow so far this year has been a lot of quick passes. Obviously, because in some games, you know, the O-line's just not allowing plays to develop. And I think that's what's scary about him is when the Bengals get this man in O-line, is I think we're going to see Joe Burrow really come to life. We're going to see these big plays starting to develop. And I think – I don't know. I think Joe Burrow is going to be a top 10 quarterback by the end of next year.
You know what? He's already a top end quarterback right now. And he has just been dynamite, and he's been taking the hits, and he has been doing it longer than everybody else. You know, Tua's got two starts. Herbert got the start just a couple weeks into the season, and Burrow has taken his hits right from week one from Herbert's team.
Right.
So, I mean, and that's part of the reason. Thanks for the call. That's part of the reason why he's leading this poll right now. I think he's also the reigning Heisman Trophy and national champion. I'm just saying, I'm clearly have I taken the lead on pounding the table for Tua nationally? Have I taken that clubhouse lead like Paul Casey?
I mean, if we're going to throw out the Miami media members, I think nationally,
I am honking the Tua horn.
Way ahead.
I'm laying on the Tua horn.
Way ahead.
I am.
Way ahead.
I'm laying on the Tua horn.
Joe Burrow has just 11 touchdown passes, but he is ninth in the league in passing yards.
I think
he's getting it done.
He is terrific. He is an excellent choice to build your team around. And I'm saying we revisit this poll in a month and Tua will win it.
I'm excited to bring this back.
Tyler in Wisconsin, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Tyler?
Hey, Rich, how are you?
What's going on in your brain today, sir?
So being from Wisconsin, obviously I'm a big Packer fan and 23 years old, so I wasn't able to see Paul Hornung play. But I was doing a little research, and I saw that he got suspended for the 1963 season for gambling.
Yeah, Alex Karras, too. Yep.
Yeah, and it was well noted that he was betting on his own team, and that just kind of triggered a thought of, you know, Pete Rose and kind of comparing the two, because Paul Hornung's in the Hall of Fame, and Paul Hornung got all this attention and positive attention. Pete Rose has been exiled from the Baseball Hall of Fame ballot, let alone the Hall of Fame. Just curious on your thoughts.
No, it's interesting that you bring up the dichotomy, Tyler. I would just proffer to say maybe it's different times. I would say,
yeah.
And obviously it's different sports. Maybe that's one way to put it. Pete being unrepentant and maybe Hornung being repentant. And Pete signing documents mm-hmm. saying that I am banned for life and Hornung not doing that. I guess that would possibly be all of that, that Pete Rozelle being the commissioner, mm-hmm. able to make a ruling and then still be alive to address it. I mean, those are yeah. those are all aspects about that would be different from Bart Giamatti banning Rose for life. And I just off the top of my head, I would just say that is a difference. I wasn't alive when, and thank you for the call, when Paul Hornung was, in fact, popped for gambling. Alex Karras went on to, as we all know, have a heck of an acting career as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Paul Hornung won the Heisman Trophy in 1956. Incredible.
That is incredible. Look at that photograph. What a different time, man.
I love the single-digit running back number, too.
I know, right? Number five in your program.
Wow.
Just a different time.
Five-time world champion.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. All right, TJ Jefferson, your microphone, you're on the old backup microphone here, right?
I'm thinking so.
Okay, you are. I can hear you. You just got to speak up a little bit more.
Copy that.
There you go.
That.
Very good. Are you ready to go higher register?
You know, I got to give the people what they want.
Okay. You got to give the people what they want. It's time. It's time to go higher register here on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. It's become a Friday staple. Go for it, please.
There's a chance.
The Rich Eisen Show's.
That there could be.
Higher register. Take of the week.
All right, there we go. Let's keep the order going the way that it's been lately. I like it. It's Chris, you're first, and then TJ, you'll go, and then I'll bring it home. What do you got over there, Chris?
Gentlemen, Masters is going on right now.
Yes, it is.
In Augusta, Georgia, the first time ever in November. It looks amazing. Tiger Woods shot a 68 yesterday, guys.
Okay.
Did you know it's the first bogey-free round in a major for Tiger since 2009?
Okay.
First time in 23 Masters appearances, Tiger shot a first round without a bogey.
Okay.
He hit 10 of 14 fairways yesterday. Tiger's been struggling off the tee for years. Hit 15 greens.
Okay.
Shot a 68, guys. I don't want to call my shot.
Uh-oh.
Again. But I think Tiger's going to win this, baby.
Oh.
He's going to win this thing.
Just again, everyone understands, you've gone higher register on maybe Tiger can do this. And he tees off for his second round in about a half an hour, and it looks like he'll be anywhere between 3 to 5 shots back. Well done.
And if he shoots a 65 today, he's going to win this thing.
Very good. What do you have over there, TJ Jefferson? What's your high register?
You know, I didn't want to go this route, but I think that's what it is expected of me at this point. Uh-huh. So we're going to continue down this Cowboys path. Now, look, we got a bye this week, which is great for me because I don't have to worry about taking an L.
Right.
But I think that performance against the Steelers last week, Rich, I think that kind of injected something into the veins of these players. I think
Garrett Gilbert was inspiring,
Garrett,
sir.
Gilbert, and he was, by the way, Super Bowl winner Garrett Gilbert.
That's right.
And I feel like hanging in there going blow for blow with an undefeated team may have done something for that team and lit a spark. So I'm going to say it. Once we come back from this bye, I think Dallas is definitely going to run the table and
run the table.
We're going to regroup after the bye. We're going to run the table.
Table.
I can see it happen. Run.
There's differences between being in the mix or turning it around, but run the table.
Hey, we're going to run the table.
Hold on a second here.
That's how I'm feeling.
At Minnesota,
W.
Thanksgiving, Washington, at
W.
Baltimore,
W.
At Joey Burrow,
W.
Sunday Night Football against San Francisco,
W.
Philadelphia.
Oh, that's a clear W.
At the Giants.
That's easy.
That's a easy table. Work. That's 8-0, huh?
Baby.
Oh, wait a minute. No, it's 7-0. There you go.
7-0.
Wow. Very good.
I feel it.
All right.
I'm bold.
That's a bold higher register. Okay. It's that time of year where you take a look at your preseason picks and you're wondering if you did the right thing or you didn't do the right thing. And, you know, my preseason selection of the MVP and Patrick Mahomes, I kind of like that.
Looks pretty good.
My preseason prediction of the Bucks winning the Super Bowl, I'm not terribly pleased with that right now. Certainly in the fact that I chose the Bucks to win that division, that certainly doesn't look very good. But I chose Seattle to win the West, and I chose the Eagles to win the East. I chose the Chiefs to win the West, Colts to win the South. That's looking good. And the Bills to win the East. That looks good. So I need to revisit some of the other ones. Green Bay, I wish I had chosen them. I can't revisit Minnesota. Mm-mm. And I'm just not going to talk about the Bucks right now. My choice of the AFC North, the Baltimore Ravens are 2 behind the Pittsburgh Steelers right now with a half game also because the Steelers have already beaten them. But I think Lamar is going to lead this team in a manner that we have not seen over the first half of the season. All of this conversation about the offense that's been talked about this week, they are going to reconfigure it. That the Ravens are going to win this game against New England. And that the Ravens are going to win Thursday night, Thanksgiving night, against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that they're going to beat the Tennessee Titans in between. And then Dallas, and then Cleveland, Jacksonville, then the Giants, and then the Cincinnati Bengals. I say, the Baltimore Ravens, they still have a shot to win the AFC North. I think they really got a shot. I mean, I just said that they're running the table right here, even if they don't. They could beat the Steelers, and then the Steelers didn't look like world beaters the last few weeks. Steelers might even lose to Joey Burrow this week. So I think the Ravens still have a shot to win the AFC North. That's my higher register. Well done, guys.
Well done.
Well done, guys. I love giving ourselves a round of applause for higher register.
What a great segment.
I think the Ravens have a shot. Not ready to give that one up yet. I almost went the Vikings aren't out of the woods
yet. Not dead
yet. Yeah, but they're not dead yet. But for the division, Green Bay's not going to get caught. Green Bay would have to basically lose more than they win the rest of the way, and that ain't happening. With the Vikings winning all the way out. The talented Malin Ackerman, who I've adored from Billions and so many other great TV and shows and movies, she'll join us in the third hour and a news update.